Hello, my name is Michael Amade. I'm a father, husband, educator, drummer, and a lover of motorcycling. I also have had the privilege of leading Community Consolidated School District 62 as superintendent since July of 2022. I invite you to take a listen on my podcast as we cover a range of topics, all of which I hope will leave you a little more inspired at the end. And with that, I welcome you to my podcast, A Few Minutes with Dr. Mike. Thanks for listening, and let's go. All right, everybody, thank you, and welcome back to our year-ending podcast. This is Michael Amade, Superintendent of Schools and Community Consolidated School District 62. And today I'm excited to have our new fire chief, Matt Matzel, with us, who is a great partner to our school district, always proponent of school safety, community safety, and being great responders for everyone of the city of Des Plaines. And we're just thankful to have you here today, Chief Matzel. So welcome. And I also have with me our Community Relations Director, Ms. Jennifer Bova, who's going to serve as our mediator and timekeeper and keep us on task for this podcast.
I promise to keep us on task. Thank you so much, Dr. Amade. Can you believe it is the last podcast for the school year?
I can. This year's been flying by, but it's exciting.
Flying by.
And we've been meaning to get Chief Matzel in for some time now, so we're thankful that he's cleared some time to meet with us.
Well, Chief, thank you so much for your time. We know it's precious. We're really happy to have you here with us today. We know that this is a new role for you. So can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and what brought you to serve as a fire chief for the great community of Des Plaines?
Well, first, I'd like to thank you for having me. This is a great honor for me to be here. I've been on the Des Plaines Fire Department for 24 years. I came up through the ranks. I've served in every position on the fire department. But to go back, my grandfather was a charter member of the Rolling Meadows Fire Department. And ever since I was a kid, I've always wanted to be a firefighter and serve the community. So every Halloween, my mom has a picture of me as dressed up as a firefighter every year.
Love it.
Yeah, it's been great. I've been so honored to serve this community. I got so lucky to get on the Des Plaines Fire Department. It's a great city to work for, a great community to be a part of. And again, I've had the opportunity to serve as a firefighter, paramedic, and every rank along the way, from lieutenant to battalion chief to deputy chief to now the fire chief. So I'm very full of gratitude and an honor to be here.
And when did you take on that role as fire chief?
I took over May of 2024, so it's coming up on my 1 year anniversary.
Okay, wonderful. And as fire chief, what would you say are some of your key priorities?
Well, as always, the number one priority is to serve the community. We want to be great partners with all stakeholders in the community and all residents. We want to be open and transparent and to serve the community in any way. I mean, we're very visual with our big red fire trucks and our mm-hmm. ambulances, and we're loud and we're boisterous. Yeah. But that's the number one role, is to serve the community in any way we can. But in our business, time is money, so we want to be very prompt and be available when we can to serve in whatever manner that may be.
Great. Well, so I'd have a question for you then moving forward. So mm-hmm. our listeners, we're always interested to know, like, you know, people actually listen to the superintendent's podcast, and I think having community leaders, and especially someone in your position, it helps our listeners to know, like, what you value and what the importance is. Because to us, it's obvious. We have our fire department, our first responders. There's probably not a week that goes by where we don't have an ambulance popping by. You know, with 4,700 kids, 850 staff, there's people that are going to have needs. We can always count on you to be there. But for us, it's easy because we're the receivers of the service. Knowing that having, you know, such a good department, a wide department of services that are available here, what is it that you hope to or gain value from the partnership with school districts?
Well, again, just to be a good member of the community and to be here to serve in any manner. We're very happy. We pride ourselves in being prepared also. So before the emergency happens, we want to be good stewards of the community and be here and get into your facilities to establish those relationships before before an emergency happens. We want to be there to, so I can recognize, you know, there's Dr. Mike, there's Jen, mm-hmm. right there. So we have that relationship before, you know, something were to happen. So we want to be prepared. The more familiar we are with a facility, you know, the better prepared we're going to be. So that would be a big deal for us, just to mm-hmm. establish those relationships early and often.
Well, thank you. And we know that that's the case because frequently we are being inspected, you know. You have your inspectors coming out to check on us, make sure that we are doing, dotting our I's and crossing our T's, and our facilities are the safest that we could ask for and well-maintained. I also like that idea of, like, when we do make a call, we don't ever second-guess if someone's coming. It's just, you know, we're watching for when they get there, and it's faster than we can ever imagine. So that time is money, time is safety, time mm-hmm. is, you know, critical for everybody in a crisis situation. So on that note, we've spent a good deal of time and effort and investing the public's dollars into being crisis response ready. Like, when a situation which they occur, we're better prepared as a school district. But we're also we're working on the communications with our fire department, our police department, with the city, you know, with the railroad. We have a lot of railroad traffic here, mm-hmm. so we have connections with those entities that may or may not be in location to one of our 12 sites. So I do appreciate, and I guess I would say that we've done a lot of work with crisis response with your department and how we'll respond in worst-case scenarios, like the worst day we could imagine mm-hmm. as a school district, or mm-hmm. just normal fire drills, or the things that we would, you know, remember as young people in schools. So my question would be, like, or thoughts from you on, you know, what we could do, or how are things are going from your perspective with the crisis response partnership with the police department and the school district?
I think our relationship is in a good spot. There's always room for improvement from my point of view. The more we can come and be in your facilities also with our police, so we can communicate and we do train together, and we want to establish those protocols and that training, so we are familiar again with your facility and also with how we're going to work in those, like you said, those worst case scenarios. We want to be prepared, and the more training we can get, the more often we can do that, the better off we're going to be.
Yeah. And as you know, and I've shared, and you know this, that we've worked really hard on crisis response protocol and speaking the same language. And I think that what we've learned over the years, watching other school districts respond to active shooter, to water main burst, to you name it, there's a million different crises, mm-hmm. but we always think of the worst extreme. But the big one was speaking the same language, and I think that one thing that we've been benefiting from is not only with the Des Plaines responders, but the Niles and the Park Ridge and Skokie and all of our surrounding area. If we're going to have a crisis, which are inevitable in any of these areas, mm-hmm. that the responding departments are coming and speaking the same language. And so I know that we've worked hard with our parents to understand, you know, what a hold means, what a secure means, lockdown, evacuate, or shelter in place. But I guess, I mean, from the department's end and being the big dog leader there, mm-hmm. Having you prioritize with your teams, some of the officers or inspectors that have been working with us on go bag training, mm-hmm. on evacuation practices, on if we had to leave the site to an assembly area or a family reunification point. Is there any thoughts you want to share with the listeners about just the importance of that from your end?
Absolutely. The more prepared you can be on the front end in the standard response protocol with this language and with the I love you guys protocol and everything, that it's very important that everybody is familiar with it in the community as well as the people on my team and with the police and everybody that's going to and come in. So no one really wants to talk about it, but it's very important that we do.
100%.
Because if you're not prepared, it's just not going to be a good day for anybody. It's not going to be a good day anyway, obviously. I don't mean to downplay that, but mm-hmm. I feel like the more prepared you are, it almost staves it off.
The piece I think that's important that we appreciate is that we didn't go to school in public mm-hmm. education to be professional, you know, responders if someone has a broken leg, or if there's a, you know, any name of crisis, that to have people that are ready and prepared and know that when we have to go into one of these states, you know, whether we're a lockdown or evacuating a building, that people have had familiarity with it, you know, being the staff, the adults, the parents. We've informed parents of this protocol. But that we're ready to move and act when the time comes. And that goes for substitute teachers as well, so guest teachers in our buildings. So the one piece I was kind of wanting to wrap up with, the crisis response part, is just really the ongoing. We have a safety committee in the district that meets at least once every 2 to 3 weeks. And if we have a crisis, then we meet the next day and we learn from that and debrief. But also just pointing out to our listeners that you've prioritized time so that there's always a representative from the fire department present and giving us guidance and co-planning with us things that I think a lot of school districts don't meet as much as we do. So that inside look of how we prioritize our time now compared to 5 years ago, you know, you'd have safety committees that would probably meet once a quarter. And it's just a every part of a everyday conversation. So just a thought, you know, I mean, not asking you to answer to it, but it's appreciated that you're putting the right people in the room.
No, it's important. It's a changing world. And unfortunately, this is a part of it where you need to be prepared for that and to meet more often. And what's the saying? When a crisis happens, you don't rise to that level. You kind of fall back on your level of training. Yeah. So the more you're familiar with it, the more you're prepared for it. You know, you're gonna have a better outcome.
Yeah, I appreciate that because it is when we talk about training, it is, you know, 2/3 of people, you know, might freeze, but you want, you know, if a third of those folks are, oh, I've been here before and I'm ready, I can be assistance. That's what we're going for. And we want 100%, obviously. But so Jennifer, I mean, there's a lot to this conversation. The heavy stuff is when we talk about crisis response and parents want to know that we are talking about it and we're preparing. But there's other aspects to, like, the fire department, which is super cool because, like, kids love fire departments and they love fire trucks. Yeah. And we have a whole educational piece there. So I don't know. Did you have some questions outside of the crisis response?
Absolutely. I always have questions. So, you know, Chief, you've talked a little bit about that connection with the community. And so I know with the warmer months coming out, there may be some opportunities for our students and families to know more about what goes on in the work of the Des Plaines Fire Department. So can you share what are those opportunities and what do they look like?
Sure. One of the biggest things we do every year is we have an open house every year. It's usually in September, right before Fire Prevention Week, which is in early October. And then we also come out to the schools and we'd love to be here. And we normally see the kindergartens through second graders to give a safety talk. But we're available. We want to be good neighbors in the community at all times. So if you reach out to us, you can access us through our website. If you want to come see the fire stations, I mean, we're your neighbor. We're your friendly neighborhood fire department. We're open for business, and we're here for you. So if you have any interest in just even a station tour or just want to even talk to me, the fire chief, and I'll tell you what we do, I'd be happy to meet. And and again, provide that service to the community. We want to be accessible.
I want a station tour.
Yep. Anytime.
Okay, I'll be over. So speaking of being good neighbors, what advice do you have for our families, for our community regarding fire safety and preparedness at home? What are some tips?
Sure. There's basic things, normal housekeeping items. And also we want to make sure that you have your working smoke alarms and also a working carbon monoxide detector. You want to have at least one working carbon monoxide detector within 15 feet of each sleeping area.
Okay.
And they also have make sure they have a battery backup. They're making them now when you can't even open them anymore. It's a battery implanted into the device. But if you do have those with a battery, it's the old saying, when you change your clocks, change your batteries. Also have your furnace, your HVAC system. If you have a fireplace, have those serviced regularly. And any type of gas appliance, you want to just have them serviced. So,
So adulting is real.
Adulting is very real.
Yes. Okay.
I heard a lot of scheduling there, and it makes sense. If you put it in a schedule, you're gonna adjust those things for your family's safety. Mm-hmm. So and also looking forward, like leadership and vision. I mean, I know that we've partnered with the community on a few projects, and I know that there's a hot button one out there about putting bridges over train and railroad pass. I won't ask you to commit to any place there, but I think it's important for people to understand that that idea, that concept of other communities responding when we are in most need in a timely fashion is that having the trains here, and it's a great commerce. It's we have the agricultural business in this community with chemicals and plants, but it can be a barrier for responders to get where they need to be. And I think anyone in this community, whether you live here or not, mm-hmm. understands I'm stuck at a train. So I don't need you to answer to that, but like that idea that we have those conversations and, you know, where does that bridge go? It affects a lot of different entities in this community. That's one leadership challenge I think that both of us, you know, are asked about and challenged with. Are there other things that, you know, our listeners would benefit from knowing that I don't think people ever know, like, where all the decisions get made and who has to be a part of that process? So just a big question on your leadership.
Yeah, it's excellent. As far as the fire department goes, of course, we're always looking at new and innovative ways to provide a more efficient and effective service. Right now, we're working on a comprehensive community risk assessment, and with that, we determine how our service is provided. Where do we put our fire stations? Where do we put our ambulances, our fire engines? So we want to make sure we're always looking at that because the needs of the community are always changing. However, the train tracks were here before the fire department was. Mm-hmm. And we have 32 at-grade railroad crossings in the city of Des Plaines, which is number 2 in the state of Illinois behind the city of Chicago.
I did not know it was that high.
That's
I must
an
be hitting the same.
Fact.
I must be hitting the same 5 crossings, and I'm not counting all of them.
Right.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, we do have a lot. There are some commuter tracks that clear a little faster, but we do have one that basically cuts the town right in half, and we're very familiar with that. Even as a young firefighter, that was one of the first things we learned was routing around that railroad track under the S-curve on Northwest Highway. That was kind of the one way we can get under there to get to the other side of town. We're always looking at different ways to address that. But the fire department's one department in the city, and we're one just piece of the pie. And, mm-hmm. you know, we're working with all stakeholders, you know, the school district, park district, the rest of the city, you know, and Cook County, everybody to determine what's the best route. And then the elected officials, obviously, there's community stakeholders that we're working very hard and pay a lot of attention to that. Public safety, we're very visible with that. So it does give a lot of attention. It is, when you see an ambulance stopped at a train crossing, it's, mm-hmm. you know, you see that, you know, you feel for somebody in the back,
yes.
right?
But, yes.
And the other thing is in our community, our incident numbers have increased, forgive me, I don't have the number right off the top of my head, but it's about 24% in the last 5 years. Mm. And we're an all-hazards fire department. We're an all-hazards response. But the majority of the calls that we go on are EMS calls. Mm. So about 75% of the calls we run are EMS calls.
Okay.
So that's the highest need of the community. That's the biggest service that we provide. And that has changed over the years. So we want to make sure we're always looking at that and we're making sure we're delivering that just the right balance of service to the community. Not too, you know, we don't need a fire station on every corner of the city, but we want to make sure that we're covered in all places, including to deal with those railroad crossings. And also when we talk about our neighbors, we have great working relationships with all of our neighbors. We participate in a thing called mutual aid, where it's an agreement that is, it's almost a handshake agreement with everybody. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, if Mount Prospect is busy and they have a call, we'll go gladly help them. And likewise, they return the favor with us. And likewise with everybody, even in the state of Illinois. We depending on how big the incident is, our department has responded out to East Dundee before.
Mm. Wow. Yeah.
So,
and I think about, too, like what people maybe take for granted or don't see on a daily basis is the traffic with O'Hare, planes, there's a higher propensity of major incidents that could occur here with railroad, and it's a lot of commerce are going on around us, and then you still got the smaller town feel because, you know, everybody knows where their fire station is. Mm-hmm. They, you know, have expectations of the community. So, I don't know. I mean, we're kind of, that's all of our questions. Did you have anything that you wanted to share beyond that with us about the relationship or hopes that you have, you know, for not only with us, but maybe with our high school, you know, 207?
Well, again, with the school districts, it's just a great partnership. We're very happy to be members of the community with you and to be able to provide that service. And if we're here to, again, be that friendly face to offer some safety tips, we'd be happy to do that. In a non-emergency situation, we're always happy to see everybody in that situation. And also with District 207, you know, we're looking to hire people. We're looking to get some people in the pipeline. If there's some mm-hmm. people that are interested in firefighting and EMS as a career, we'd be glad to get you in the pipeline early to get you ready to go.
Well, we will pass that forward to our friends in administration over at 207. We're always looking for teachers, too. We like to grow our own. So, Did you have anything else, Jennifer?
No, I think we extend our sincere gratitude for your service, for your partnership. We appreciate you, Chief. We thank you. And we feel very fortunate to work alongside you.
Yeah, so looking forward to the continued partnership and all the growth we're doing together, and keep making that happen. So thank you for entertaining our podcast. I know your time's important. So
Likewise, thank you very much for having me. It was great.
I'm looking forward to my tour.
Yeah, anytime.
Okay.
Oh boy. All right. Well, thank you.
Thank you all.